Barry G.
JGC. Barry G. Barry G.
Jamaica.
Well, the sun shines in Jamaica and the moon shines in London.
Now to the green gullies of Walkerswood, we take you straight to the spiritual hill on the white sands of Ontario's. We bring to you straight out of Kingston, Jamaica.
Welcome to another episode of Jamaica Way Reggae Podcast. If you're a new listener, please do keep us in mind. Come back and visit. Check out all of the offerings that we have for prior podcasts. There's a lot to choose from. This is part three of the Barry G Podcast.
JBC. Barry G. Music.
I have to go to front line tonight. You can stay there and don't live your life. You have one life to live, as Phyllis Dillon reminded you years ago, so you've got to live it. You just find out the things you love in life and you go there. Never losing sight of the fact that the Lord is still the Irish shepherd and the Irish shall not want once you do it that way. So forget about your status, how you started out in this life, or when you came from your mother's womb. You've got your destiny, you go there and you struggle on. And if you're living in living hell, as Peter Tosh would say, fight your way through. Be militant about your piece of the pie because it's there for everyone. The truth is, we're from the richest continent in the world, Africa. Follows therefore, need I say more, so you go there and get your piece of the pie, your me, your my, and this, your Tuesday. Got to rock a front line tonight, yeah. And by the way, every Thursday at front line is lobster on the house, you know.
Well, you make up your face for it. You don't like lobster.
Station JBC with me, BG, on an afternoon when we try to make it good for you to go to Sunsplash. East, west, north, south, Bay, G, the bottom.
And this is the third and final installment of the Barry G special. This episode features Barry G talking about his work with King Yellow, Yellow Man in a 1983 interview talking about his work with Barry G, Barry G interviewing Miguel Lorne on the Bob Marley estate in 1989, Barry G talking to Shabaranks in the studio. Also, Barry G interview from 2006 talking about pressure to play music from certain forces in the industry. And also, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, where Barry G was an MC.
Well, you know, this slackness is, it attracts a lot of people, you know. That is one of my main reasons, you know, mm-hmm. in the music business, the slackness. But it's not really slackness, it's people call it slackness, you know. It's things that people do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like Barry G says, when you go home, you bless yourself when you do it, you know. What's the deal with you and Barry G? You and Barry G seem to have a tight combination between two. You a lot of your music.
Yeah, you know, he love me a lot, you know, mm-hmm. and I love him too, you know. Obviously, all the radio station in Jamaica, you know, everybody on the radio station, they love playing my music, mm-hmm. you know. And I go there over there probably every day, talk to them and tell them what next coming on and so on.
Which is almost every day because you're putting out so much.
Yeah.
And you were part of it. You weren't just chronicling it as an announcer. You were up on stage. You were part of the lyrics of the songs.
Whatever I did was deliberate. And interestingly, there were rumors. The Yellow Man is making all this money. He must be paying Banerjee.
Yeah.
Payola. Uh-huh. That argument came up. But people are so narrow-minded not to have thought that I was bringing to prominence someone who was so underrated in terms of looking at his pigmentation and the stigma attached to albino. Here was this, forgive me, Yellow Man, here was this underdog, yeah, who was making all this money, creating all the headlines, and I mean, all the big names abroad, they wanted Yellow Man on their stage.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I wonder too if the folk overseas, because of this pigmentation, you know what has happened to Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think it's true? Is that really true, you think? With Michael, does he really have the pigmentation problem?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. It's not so much about the surgeries or the operations he did. Yes. His the melanin. Is, I mean, if you look at my skin here, for example, here's the palm of my hand. Here's the palm of my hand, and if you notice, as you get closer to the dark pigmentation, it's lighter here. Mm-hmm. Or looking across here. In Michael Jackson's case, what is here is coming over here. Mm-hmm. So he's losing all of that. And Yellow Man has lost all.
Yes.
Yeah. So Yellow Man jokingly says, I feel these people don't realize I'm a black man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and interestingly, the whole concept of this albino who was thought to be white, by the way, in some circles, they marveled at his lyrics, you know.
When you first started out, everybody called you Yellow Man, and then you went to Mr. Yellow Man.
Yeah.
And then you went to King Yellow Man.
Yeah.
Now, how do you explain the transition from the bottom to the top?
Yeah,
because it started out as Yellow Man, not very well looked upon word or name, and now it's like very well respected. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's just like the type of music I come up with. Like, I would come up with some children's songs, some religious songs, you know, just to keep them, you know. And I win a lot of contests, a lot of DJ competitions.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they call me King, you know. And every show, every stage show I do in Jamaica, you know, it always crowded, and that's why people call me King Yellow Man, you know.
Stand up! You've been here all night long. Stand up for the most popular entertainer in Jamaica. The man blocks the streets wherever he goes. The man blocks the streets. Look at your clocks. It's 20 minutes after 6 o'clock. King Yellow. King Yellow. Yellow Man. Yellow Man. Yellow Man. The sunlight and the moonlight mingling together. King Yellow. King Yellow. Stand up. You're gonna feel it. Stand up. King Yellow. Ask yourself why the Jamaicans and everyone else rave over the man. King Yellow. King Yellow. Just be nice. Yeah. Yeah. Especially Jesus Christ, they want to blend your camera. On the pool now. Jesus Christ. Run, ready, run. Special request to all my behind, see? Cause right now, just you know, make me feel good, you know, see? Ribbit. One name. Tell them. Sure, just easy, yeah. Sure. Hear them style, yeah. You see me? Is one thing Yellow Man can't understand, lad. Is one thing Yellow Man can't understand. When me the whole of them a cuss me but me nation. I talk about where me get fit me color from. I pity them no know it's from the whole of one. I want everybody to understand. Jaja made us for a purpose. He made the Yellow Man for a purpose. He made the Chinese Man for a purpose. He made the Black Man for a purpose. Come me say, glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jaja, for giving me this a color. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jaja, for giving me this a color. Oh, the wicked don't go save them soul. Oh, the wicked don't go save them soul. Them have to have up some self-control. What about the
Today, we're gonna run a little roll call. Let's see if he's present. Barry G? Present, officer. Shabba Ranks?
Present. Yes, on Jamaica.
Radio One.
Shabba Ranks is here this afternoon. He's here to take the crown. What do you know? Out of every 100 callers, listen to the statistics. For those who wanted to know how the clash ended, out of every 100 calls on the Barry G Show on JBC, at a time when we locked down all other radio stations, out of every 100 calls, 80 callers go for Shabba Ranks, 20 for Ninja. That's a very wide stretch out of every 100 callers. And if you keep it going at that rate, we don't need Carl Stone. Good afternoon, Carl Stone. We should do a poll with you.
Radio One.
A whole lot of records on the street in a bus.
Well, Barry G, that's why the air is polluted with some of the cars. I've been doing the work for a long time. I know it's a time that I've just explored. It's just an explosion. It's uncontrollable.
You so, just explode?
Yeah, I just explode. When I was down there and nothing wasn't going, right? I have to be doing the work down there very hard. So work was done. Now producers are getting loose and they are turning the music loose.
So what you gonna have to do? Control your tongue now?
Yeah, well, I can't control my tongue. I've got a lot of vice in.
Just Shabba, they get a nice run and behave as if the business has been ungrateful to them. I want you to be honest about your success. Stage shows, recordings. I don't know what kind of deal you have with producers. I mean, you're cool. You're nice.
Yeah, everything is skeptical, Barry G. I set it that way from the time I was been working, you know?
House and land set.
Yeah, but boy, Barry G, they'll have to look and see and read about Shabba. Enough respect, you know?
So when you decide to cool out from this biz, house and land and family set?
Everything that is necessary for a man to live comfortable, I, Shabba Ranks in person, will have that.
My brethren, you've worked hard. Lyrics are flowing. You have 15 seconds to tell crowd of people who voted so heavily for you. And you are very humble in pointing out how Ninja Man and yourself live close.
Yeah, we are very close. Youth days, a Ninja Man was Ugly Man. And not Ninja Man originally.
Yes.
Barry Jimmy, I tell about the days of cut off foot pants. We have a unification between the two of us, and it is lovely. At the time when Ninja Man was out with Protection,
yes,
he came to me to produce a tune for me, to get me on the street, because he knew that I have the potential.
So when Ninja Man was hotting up street,
yeah,
you didn't even start recording, is it?
I started recording, but things wasn't cracking the right and proper way.
Now Shabba is cracking to the point where the listeners are saying, out of every 100 calls, 80 for Shabba. You thank the people. We go on into news. You have the last say.
Yeah, enough respect and keep on loving Shabba. Whosoever loves Shabba, TLC from Shabba for you all. I love you. Enough respect to the creator. Up above, the main man upstairs. And then Mama Krista, me love you. All the people I see you and everybody will love Shaba. Keep on loving me. Management team, respect.
And always remember, if you like what you're listening to in Podomatic, go to the comments section, give us some feedback. You can subscribe to this podcast. You can hit the like button. Any and all of those buttons that you press help to support this program. So if you like what you like, make it known.
What about pressure? I mean, I assume individuals would just plain old pressure you to play it. And that, you know what I'll say? I'll say you must have given in at one point. You have to give in. Right? You have to. Well, then you have preferences, artist preferences, people you know that you know they're good. You know they're giving you a good, reliable. It's like almost like buying meat.
Yeah, there was heavy pressure.
Yeah, you go to a butcher that's going to give you the good meat.
There was heavy pressure. And, I mean, when I got 20 songs in one day, they would know my little MG, my sports car. And if you're being flagged down on the street, you dare not refuse to stop.
Yeah.
And they're stopping you to give your records through the window. Hey, welcome, Barry G. Wicked thing, number one show, not, you know. May I listen out later here?
Yeah.
You get to the radio station, you have your program plan, and he sees you the next day. Boss, if you get me. So you have to use your psychology there now. Well, I was rushing into the studio. I left your record in the car. You know where the pressure comes in? And to balance it, you tell yourself that when you get off the air or before you go on the next day, since he stopped you again and you didn't, you're going to give it a listen. You're going to give it a listen.
Okay.
You do. So the person who, you know, there's the mentality. You're not part of it. And the psychology of that was you listen to it. However, it wasn't difficult for me to say to the person, listen, I listened to the record, but guess what? The recording was too low, or this word was in it, you need to deal with it. I'm not talking about auditioning on air now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening before I go.
At home, sure. Yeah.
And I can, they respected me enough to hear the criticism.
Okay.
And I would say to the person, that record, that's too slow for what's happening now.
Okay.
The voice level is too low. It's gonna struggle. Or that song is worthy, but guess what? Here's this person at the radio station. I used to force them now to market their records. So they go into the manager of the sales department, and I suggest to them how they buy some ads, spend a little of their money on their pre-releases, so I voice it for them.
Yeah.
Fresh from Johnny Osborne. Buddy bye.
Yeah.
It's in record stores now.
Yeah.
And somehow, the marketing of it gave rise to the greater attention to it, so the pressure was off me being that popular show where they all wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
And when those little ads went out like that, the other jocks on the other stations picked up the records and took the
started
first
the movement. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about out and out threats? Because somebody has to threaten you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been so much of that over the years.
I've had a gun pulled on me at a dance. Watch your barrage. My crew around there are listening up. They know you have them tuna in your box. You know. Play them tuna right now in your box. I was in Kingston 13. I think I was in Greenwich Farm. I went in the box. I played the record. Yeah. Yeah, that was rough. That was a rough night. Yeah. A gun was actually pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was pulling the crowd. I was in the Barry G. Wada dance. And I wasn't sure what was happening out there. And you know, back in the day when that happened, I felt it was a bluff though. Yeah, it was. Today, if it happened, I wouldn't think twice. I would even pause.
You did the MC work at Royal Philharmonic for John Holt, did you not?
That's right.
Yeah, tell me about that night, because that was a magical night.
It was. What was different about it was to see people dressed up in tuxedo,
And how are you doing tonight?
Quite fine, Mr. Gordon.
There you go. Terribly British. All seated, the gowns on the tuxedos. However, as the night drew on, people got out of their seats. Yeah, I wanted to pull the tie.
Mm-hmm.
A real ragamuffin it up. Mm-hmm. But the idea of that genre, as in the Philharmonic Orchestra with, you know, the flute and the violin and
mm-hmm.
the cello,
yes.
You name them. Boy, to have a string section like that live for reggae, it couldn't miss me, even if I wasn't the MC. It was magic. Freddie McGregor is John's special guest.
Yeah.
Oh, that was some show.
Yeah, the show was designed and I think pushed by a certain guy in England, but then he passed away, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. It was definitely not for the upscale market. I mean, £35-40 for a ticket. You know, where normally you'd see these guys for £10-15.
Yeah.
You know, one night out, £35-40, you're all dressed up, sip some champagne, you know, pop some bubbles.
I'm thinking a particular Don. Wasn't there a Don that kind of organized it? John Holt was his favorite.
Yeah,
he passed away.
The rumor was it was money laundering, but the show, the tops of the tops were invited.
Okay.
You know, that was a classic act.
Time is a going, why not make yourself a plan and try to be someone. Hold up your head so I can see you're trying some. Time is the master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Well, 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 you young and gay, old and gray. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Well, well, time, 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 time. Time, 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 time. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. I say, young and gay, you old and gray. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Well, 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 well. Time, 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 time. Time, 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 time. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Well, well, well. Going, why not make yourself a plan and try to be someone? Hold up your head so I can see you're trying some. Love you. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Well, 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 well. Time, 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 time. Everybody. The master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Time is a going, why not make yourself a plan and try to be someone? Hold up your head so I can see you're trying some. Put your hands up, everybody. Time love is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Do it time. I say, you young and gay, you old and gray, time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Sing it out with me now. Hey, hey. Time, 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 time. Time, 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 time. Time, 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 time. Time is a master. Time can be disaster if you don't care. Lord of mercy. Time, 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 time. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. All of us sing a thing like this, you say, time, 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 time. Time is a master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. Well, well, I say, time is the master, but time can be disaster if you don't care. If you don't care. Goodbye, everybody, and God bless you all. Let me hear you say, yeah! Yeah! All of us tonight, yeah!
Hopefully throughout these three specials, you've detected that Barry G has knowledge of the music. He researches his interviews, so when he's talking to someone, he knows what he's talking about. He has a certain vocal delivery, a certain style to his spoken word on the radio, and also just the flow. That's what makes him so interesting over the years.
Good afternoon.
It's Barry.
Are you going to Sunsplash?
No, Barry, you just put me on hold.
Okay, sit. I just remember. My apologies. There are horse number one, Softy Mile. Horse number two, B, Flash Caveat. Number three, Color Me True. Number four, Necessarily So. Number five, Over Wild. Number six, Caveat Fumator. Number seven, Fire on the Water. Number eight is Firing Thunder. Number nine is Home Plot. Number ten is King to Kehlani. Number 11 is Snow Rocket. And number 12, Dance Prospect. Win the horse race from Falcon Super Tire. Who will win? Who'll be second?
2-4, Barry. Number 2 will be win. First and number 4 second.
Careful now. Number 2 is a late non-starter, but number 2B, there is a post position 2B.
All right. Give me 4-8 now.
Okay. Number 2 is not going, but number 2B is going. Number 4 is Necessarily So from number 8, Home Plot, right?
Yeah.
Who's calling?
Lorna in
Huenden. Lorna in Huenden.
Yeah, Barry.
Uh-huh.
When I get Shabaran today now. From yesterday I was trying to get you because I didn't want you to ask him when he's coming on Arsenia. Because every night I watch him Arsenia and I can't see.
When Shabaran will be on Arsenia Hall show.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I know where he is right now. I'm gonna call him. I should have asked him that.
Yes, we never asked him that. Why that never come to you?
Sure. You know when the brain full up of things.
But listen, I'm saying, like, man, if Barry G couldn't remember that to ask him.
When he's, well, I tell you what, the Arsenia Hall show is recorded, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So it's when it will be broadcast.
But, you see, we get to that station, the feed station, and T1.
So I'm going to ask him then, you don't get it on F2.
Yeah, we get it on F2, but we don't watch the one on
F1. It can mean things that you have presently. And it can also mean things to come into, to form part that would be due to you if you were alive.
Now, I've been following the entertainment biz closely, and what I've noticed, Michael, is that lately
a lot of international stars have been doing over Mali music. Now, under the terms of this sale for the estate, we understand that the copyright of all Mali's songs and the right to use his name
would go to whoever buys the estate.
That's serious, man.
Very serious. In other words, Island Record, Island Company now that is buying out the estate, they would be entitled to all the royalties. They would step into Mali's shoes if he was alive.
In other words,
all his copyrights, all his copyrights that he owned would now go to them.
Ask anyone in the music business, they will tell you it's not the money you make now from the sale of a record. Years down the road, the royalties involved when your song is, well, being re-recorded, and you know the whole process.
In the case of Mali, it will always be. Mali's songs are so current, so biblical, prophetical, and so on. They will always carry that weight and culture. So it's difficult to put a price on it.
So when Mali Estate, in inverted commas, is sold for $45.1 million,
yeah.
10 years from now...
Right. Also, what if looking at the paper this morning, it says that $35 million will be paid now, and the other $11 million is to be paid over a 10-year period with no interest. You know, all that is... Because they can make that other $11 million in a year.
I see it.
You asked a question, Barry. If a will had been made, it would have made a difference.
Right. If Mali had made a will,
it would have made a difference. Because the will would state exactly who you want to be the executors or the executrix of the estate. And unless that person is proven to be incapable or mad or something like that, they would have been the one to administer the estate. And your will would state exactly how you want your assets to go. And the executors would have had to follow that. So that would have made a big difference here, especially in light of the fact that the present administrators of this estate are, like I said, they have eased off the persons who were very close to him. And that it is persons who are no more doing a job. My feeling is this, you know, that the present administrators are either tired or fed up, because it has had some complexity in it. But my alternative would have been to appoint new administrators of the estate. And a quick recommendation would have been his mother, certainly, Miss Adela Booker, Sister Ritter, and Brother Bonnie Whaler. It's always good to put in your good friend, especially someone who used to walk with you and who knows you. The aim of administering a person's estate, you know, is to fulfill that which you think the person themselves would have done if they had been alive. And therefore, a close friend could have added a lot of impact to something like that.
Now, from the point of view of Peter Bunny Bob, how do you... Sever, how do you make a distinction between royalties from the Whalers and the Mali estate? How is that done?
All right. From the outset, you see, there was a company known as Tuff Gong Records, which involved 1,300 shares for Bonnie, 1,300 for Bob, and 1,300 for Peter. One of the first things that happened after Mali passed was that both Peter and Bonnie got letters indicating that Tuff Gong Records owe the estate $301,764. What that meant now was that if the Tuff Gong Records owe the estate $301,000, then it would mean that Bob owe $100,000, Peter $100,000, and Bonnie
$100,000.
Uh-huh. What was also suggested, there is some land, very, very good piece of land, which the Whalers had to make into a Whalers Park and to keep shows similar to Sunsplash. That piece of land now, what was suggested to Bonnie and Peter was that they should sign their rights to that piece of land over to the estate in settlement for that debt, which is supposed to be owed to the estate. Of course, Bonnie and Peter refused, and until this day they have not signed. Now, that I think was part of the machinations to ease out Bonnie and Peter out of the tough gang business.
Added to this, Peter has died.
Now, Peter has died, and I'm one of the attorneys responsible for Peter's estate, so I'm watching the Marley thing very, very close, because I really don't want to go through what I see happening here. So I'm taking my time, very patient, to avoid all the pitfalls that I see happening in relation to the Marley estate. So, and I have a fair idea of what Peter's wishes is, and I know definitely how Bonnie thinks. So there have been attempts to ease them out of this entire picture. Now, as you have said, Barry, it is difficult to really separate the royalties that is really due. Blackwell was the one who came up with this Bob Marley and the Wailers thing. Previously, it was just the Wailers, which would mean that royalty that comes in would be shared amongst the Wailers, not Bob Marley, and then some would go to the Wailers. And I think that at some point, when all this thing has settled a bit now, those arguments are going to come back again now as to some of this amount of money which goes specifically to the Bob Marley estate, whether or not, in fact, it should not really be spread amongst Peter Tosh estate and Bonnie Wailer and the entire Wailers family.
If I'm following my history of the Wailers correctly, and you may correct me, Miguel, because you're close to it, would it be fair to say that before 1974, that period may be considered the Wailers? After that would be Bob Marley and the Wailers.
You are correct.
1974?
Yes.
Right.
But what you have had since 1974, you know, is numerous Wailers material have been put out since and have been called Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Oh, boy.
In fact, it is Wailers material, especially with the new thing now with compact disc. All these songs have now been put on compact disc. One compact disc sells in England for about £18, £20. So you get an idea of the amount. And neither the Peter Tosh estate, nor the Bob Marley estate, nor Bonnie Wailer is receiving any of these royalties.
Bonnie Wailer has been very quiet, though.
He has been quiet, but active, you know. Recently made a very quiet trip to London, and the attorneys there have already got in touch with over 20 companies in England that are pirating Wailer's products. He said Bonnie see it as his duty to clean up the entire thing before he goes out as a musical ambassador. He feels that it don't make sense go out and him keep robbing you. Clean it up first. And with people like Andrew Tosh coming up now, Ziggy Marley and all of them coming up now, when it is cleaned up, they won't have to go through the agony, in other words, of black people, money which is due to the black race, now finds itself right back into the Bakra Marsahan.
And I'm now, there it is. The most wonderful technology and the space you save, you know, story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm into a lot of that right now, because I don't think my wife is going to give me another room.
Tell me a pivotal moment in your career.
What kind of moment?
A pivotal, something that really made the difference.
Mm.
Positive or negative, maybe.
Ooh. I think it would have to be those moments when I was bold enough to have made the move from one radio station to another. And each move meant another level.
Mm-hmm.
At no point did it go in the opposite direction. Each move meant taking it on another level. And what was interesting too was, because I always wanted to be original, and a lot of the jocks who came after were copying the things I did.
Sure.
I cleverly stopped doing certain things I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave them with things that they're copying and getting to the next level, doing other things. So in terms of being pivotal, I would have to say those moments when I took it on another level. And then I reached a point, you know, that plateau, and you're like, wow, been there, done that.
Yeah.
And then came the technology, the ability to beam from home and capture a whole new market and a generation of Jamaicans who listened to you over the years, who are no longer living in Jamaica. They're overseas now with their children, and they can say, you hear that guy? When I was a little girl, I used to run home and listen to him on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm beaming to their kids now. And so, while I respect the Jamaican vibe, and like I pointed out, you can't leave this 2.6. And although you have 14 radio stations, you can't get your 1.5 prime all by yourself any longer. But it's getting the best of both worlds. That is really what's happening for me.
Will that sound come back again?
Yes, we've been pressured to do so.
Okay.
And people feel it's not fair to have all those dub plates locked up in the vault in Mandeville. The team we met quite often, and we're like, oh, can we really manage it? Or do we go back on the road like the Rolling Stones, you know? One steel tour, one more for old time's sake, or, you know, back in the day. We're going to do it. Even for 1 year, the biggest dance halls that had the biggest sessions we've had.
If you want more of what we have to offer, you can tune in every Friday night at WRUW.org and listen to our radio program called Night of the Living Dread. It's 30 years playing here in Cleveland, Ohio, 1982 to 2012. Or you can check us out on YouTube. There's about 50 videos posted. Just go to YouTube and type in the keyword Jamaica 809. Reggae music interviews on video. Thanks to podcast listeners from all over the world, it is amazing how far the podcast can stretch and reggae music penetrates the world. So come on.
Goodness gracious me, I decided to give you a double dose of the singers on my night Friday night. Behold, how many times has John Holt done a version of Carpenter? Oh boy. Remake made number one for him in Jamaica, you know. And then to follow with Dennis Brown, my goodness. It was in 1964 where the Righteous Brothers gave you You've Lost the Loving Feeling. Revived in the 90s by Dennis Emmanuel Brown. He is hot shot for Friday night.
That's why I'm selective of Noah. So sad. Because he was Barry G. He was mingling with the people over there. The crime situation. It forces you to go to that dance hall, but not that one. Because it's fear that people are going to enjoy themselves too much. They throw bottles and a gunplay may take place. It's funny, I feel the people have a kind of love for me that will override any evil. And it's not that I refuse to go and play in that area or that area. Quite often the promoters themselves realize that the crowd turnout for fear of violence may not be well in that area. So they don't even think about keeping the show in that place, which lets me off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But admittedly, it runs through the mind. It's human. I wonder, you know, will a fight break out tonight? I know that dance hall. It's one way in, one way out.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens, how can I protect my family? You know, or if I'm alone, how do I get out of there with my dub plates? You think these things. Times have changed. 20 years ago, if you're a known person in entertainment and Bad Boy bumps into you on the corner, you say, well, are you Bob Marley? What's going on, Tuna? 20 years later, you're the first to be targeted.
Yeah.
It has changed. It's almost like the young people today who are caught up in the crime, they've lost their respect. The kind of awe, the kind of, you know, Dennis Brown. He's one of us, the untouchable. Garnet Silk, a my boy that. I am a sing the tune them. When, you know, they're forgetting when they're on the corner smoking their Ziggy and enjoying the music. They're forgetting that those are the voices that entertain them. That those are the voices coming from the same people who are as oppressed as they are. But those persons just got the opportunity to be in the ghetto, but at the same time be of the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're forgetting it, and sad to say we're losing it, you know. Because within a community, no matter the poverty, the voice that is heard on a record on the radio, that voice is revered, it's respected, it's like, it's our champion. Hold up that person on the pedestal. Today, the robberies, when you look at it, the entertainers are the first to be robbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Elephant Man goes to London.
Yeah. He's robbed.
He's robbed. Yeah.
But I think there's something unique about being a radio announcer, because, boy, the amount of respect that you get is incredible.
It is.
And when you're at the cream of the crop like yourself,
it's true.
You can kind of almost go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that has been my approach. But at the same time, I don't take anything for granted. And, you know, hey, take care of yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you just go where you're going, watch your head back.
Let me look at these questions here.
Yeah.
What's the Sav connection?
What's the
Sav Lamar connection?
Oh, the Sav Lamar connection.
Yeah.
My wife is from Westmoreland, and we do business here in Sav Lamar. So, because most of the radio stations are in Kingston, I set up my marketing office within her office. So, we end up with wherever I am in Jamaica. You know, you can still get in touch with me, and that's how you ended up bumping into me.
Yeah. Which is really nice.
Right.
You know what I said? The first thing I got here, because I interviewed David Rodigan a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and first thing I said, because I tried to interview you before, I tried to call, connect with you, but it just didn't happen. I didn't pursue it aggressively. Mm-hmm. But they said, go to Sam.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. So it's good.
But people still can't believe that, you know, we're 130-odd miles away from the nearest radio station. And when it's afternoon time or night time, I'm there. And yet they saw me in Sav Lamar in the morning.
Why are fat girls such a focus of Jamaican music over the years?
Why are fat girls such a focus? It's funny. Back in the day, a slim girl was kind of the swing. The fat girl, nothing was happening for her. I've noticed a trend. Ever since the thong has become popular, and the slim girls are the rage in the Victoria's Secrets and stuff, Fredericks, you name them. It's interesting because that's the body that is seen as the perfect body for the thong.
Mm-hmm.
The pot-bellied woman, or the woman with a big bumper,
mm-hmm.
she's not in any of that. So it's a reverse psychology where the DJs are saying, hey, big up yourself, it's your own. And they joke about the foul pill as to whether or not the person who is fat, who used to be slim once, was, you know, taking anorexal or on the foul pill. So in all the humor, the fat woman becomes the center of attraction, and the DJs cleverly try to play on it. it's a tease. But at the same time, they're trying to say to the slim girl, you're mager, not going for you, you're malnourished.
Mm-hmm. Bony punani.
There you go. You're bony down there. So that's where the psychology is. In all that play, it's a subtle way of, bringing the once shy fat woman on stage to be exposed for the humor of the crowd. And boy, they've come out of the closet.
Yeah, they have. Mm-hmm. Maybe to go to the refrigerator.
Okay. Yeah?
Okay.
Stay tuned for more of the tribute series, which we will finish up. That'll be on future episodes.
Search all over and me find this sound, this beautiful sound that we want in the world. Search all over and me find this sound, rich low, Jamaica way, rich low I play. Jamaica way, rich low I play. Zareb.